Welcome to the Michael Yu Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We have a very, very special guest, David Fairbairn at Fairbairn Inspections. Probably our tallest guest we've ever had. Dave, how tall are you?
I'm 6 foot five.
6 foot five, wow. So why inspections and not basketball?
Well, I'm all left feet, so, it was funny. I didn't realize how tall I was until, I would see a picture of myself, and I'm standing out in a crowd, and my wife loves it. She can find me really easily.
That's right.
We go to Metrotown, just poking right above, all the other people there, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Dave, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners here and what you do?
Yeah, so my name's David Fairbairn. I am a licensed home inspector here in Vancouver. And I've been doing home inspections in and around the Lower Mainland for about my six and a half years, coming up on seven.
Right.
Done about, last count, I think I was around 3,000 home inspections done.
My God.
So it's been out of those 6.5 years, it's been a pretty busy time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into business late 2011, and I haven't looked back. I love it. It's all I do. And I've had the pleasure to work with some really amazing people and see some really amazing properties, and I would recommend home inspections to anybody who wants a really exciting, slightly stressful, but exciting career.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was your background prior to getting your starting your inspections business?
Yeah, so I started out when I was one of my first real job, professional jobs. I worked in luxury hotels. So I actually worked in a number of luxury high-end hotels, in mostly front office and guest service divisions. So I would recommend, a service industry job for any career path that you want. If you can start with a customer service job at the very beginning, you're in really good shape, because you learn how to deal with all different types of people. So, I was constantly dealing with, some really lovely people, and we also had some clients that were, they'd be stressed out, that, their plane just arrived and they're 4 hours delayed, and they just want to get up to their room right away, and I would try to always, put on a nice smile for them and say, welcome here, and just sort of learn to work with different personality types. So that actually really helped me out later on with my work with real estate. Because real estate, as you know, emotions can be high. You got somebody that's buying their first property. They've only watched HGTV,
homes on homes.
Homes on homes, and they're expecting, the worst, and they can be, pretty nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually gave me a really good foundation. So I worked in luxury hotels for years, and one day one of my coworkers gave me access to the boiler room in one of our commercial buildings downtown.
Right.
And it was like the time stopped. I just went in there and I said, wow, this technical stuff, I just love it. And so I ended up getting an engineering license shortly after that. Mm-hmm. I just completely changed career paths. Worked as an engineer for years in commercial buildings downtown Vancouver. And then one day I decided that I didn't want to be in one building all the time, and mm-hmm. I wanted a little bit more excitement. And we had a friend who was a home inspector, and he highly recommended it. And took the course, worked really hard, and learned everything I could. And I went out and just started. I hit the real estate world and started seeing what happened. And I've been blessed with a lot of work since then. So
yeah, that's amazing, Dave. So you chose to be an independent right out of the gate. You didn't chose to join a firm or anything like that.
Oh yeah, like a franchise or firm. Yeah, I had a bit of marketing experience. I have a real do-it-yourself kind of ethic, and I thought, I looked at some of the options available, and I said, I can probably do this better. and one of the important decisions I had to make early on, right away, and this is one of the questions I always get, is, do you have other guys working for you?
Mm-hmm.
I decided to be independent and just by myself. Nothing wrong with having a big team, and I know some guys, they'll actually have a fairly large crew, and they're going all the time. That's actually, it's probably more profitable too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more profitable. But for me, it's more of probably a combination of quality control and lifestyle.
Yeah.
I like to just do things myself, and I like to know that at the end of the day, you know, I go in and you know, inspect some properties. I know that the job's done really, really well, mm-hmm. to the best of my ability, and I've got my last name on my uniform, and yeah. I'm the guy who stands behind his work. So, and I can sleep at night; I don't have to worry about it.
We just had a phone call in the office here.
So. Oh yeah,
but it's probably Domino's or something like that.
Yeah, that pizza's going to show up any minute now, right?
Yeah, I hope so. So, Dave, if you don't mind sharing with us, so as a inspector starting out, what were some of the fears that you had, and like, you know, is there a lot of liability for inspectors? Like, how does that?
Yeah, that's actually a huge component of it. Is in the world of inspections, you know, we're a pretty high liability category.
Yeah,
I remember, you know, when I first went to go shop my insurance around, and you know, I called a few different insurance companies. They said, well, there's one that does it.
Wow.
And I said, okay, well, you know, can I get a second quote? No, you actually can't, you know, and, okay, let's, you know, how much is it going to cost? And, you know, we're basically certifying the condition of, you know, in many cases, multi-million-dollar properties. Mm-hmm. So from a liability standpoint, it's very high. My advice to any inspector starting out would be to basically make sure that you understand what you're supposed to do in terms of what's covered by home inspection. So we have our standards of practice. Every inspector will have a standard practice, and it basically says, okay, we're supposed to inspect the roof, supposed to inspect the furnace. We don't have to run the furnace, but we, mm-hmm. you know, I do run the furnace. So right. There's a bare minimum standards, and we have to make sure we're hitting all those points, because that's part of our liability. And then the other thing I would say would be, if you're starting out, is make sure you've got a really good slush fund, because, you know, the insurance and the marketing and your tools and equipment can be quite expensive when you first start out. I think I put about $10,000-$15,000 worth into, you know, tools and equipment. Wow. and you know, logoed uniforms and things like that. You know, actually the bare minimum to have in terms of tools is about a screwdriver and a flashlight. So you don't really have to have a mm-hmm. lot of, you know, high end equipment, but nowadays customers are expecting a lot more. They're expecting you know, thermal imaging, infrared mm-hmm. cameras, which can run you several thousand dollars. They're expecting you to have maybe gas meters, to have you know, moisture probes. Those can be expensive as well, but those help us do a better job. So you know, in my opinion, I've never bought a tool to help me do the job and regretted it. I've always thought, okay, this is going to help me do a better job, and if I can find one more issue by having that tool, it'll pay for itself. And it may not be, you know, directly, but it'll, you know, the customer will be happy. They'll tell three of their friends, mm-hmm. and my business will grow from just having a good reputation. Absolutely. And then so I decided not to go with a franchise or a you know, a larger company, just because I knew that 90% of the business was word of mouth. I found out, you know, really quickly that if you have good word of mouth, you really don't have to advertise. You know, you don't have to print out glossy brochures and go drop them on everybody's door. You know, your business will take care of itself. And if you have a good reputation, you know, your phone will just ring. And so, you know, focus really on core stuff. You know, do a good inspection, keep the client happy. You know, don't take, you know, 9 hours to do the inspection, professional reports, mm-hmm. you know, show up clean and smile and everything else kind of falls into place. So it's all about those fundamentals.
Yeah. So what's your process? Let's, if you can walk us through what your condo inspection looks like, and maybe walk us through what like a small starter home inspection would look like if you're just kind of, it's like, you get to the house.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. So condo inspection, I usually have to show up earlier to these, and they actually require a little bit more homework.
Okay.
So I think at this point, I've probably done most of the buildings in Vancouver in terms of the condos. There's a couple ones with, you know, maybe 9 units in them, and I've never been in them, but I've heard about them.
Right.
But, you know, most of the buildings with a fair number of units I've actually been in at some point, or at least I've heard about them.
Mm-hmm.
What I usually do is I actually have this folder on my computer where I keep all the depreciation reports and, you know, AGM minutes and things mm-hmm. like that. And I keep a bit of a record on each building. And I actually get a fair number of calls from people asking about different buildings before they even make an offer.
Oh, wow.
So usually by the time I actually show up, I've gone on and I've done some research on the actual building, the developer, the number of units, the age of construction. And then I'll show up a little bit early and I'll walk around the outside of the building. there's a bit of a gray area in terms of what's included with a condo inspection, and I think a lot of clients may not be 100% clear on that, and I think a lot of realtors too. You know, it varies from inspector to inspector, so they're not sure what to expect.
Right.
Usually, what I do is I'll walk around the outside of the building, take a look at the building envelope, which is your siding, your balconies, your windows, and then I will make some notes for them. And it's not really for the client. You know, if there's repairs that need to be done to the outside of the building, the client would never do it themselves.
Right.
But they can notify in the strata, and they can actually send a copy of the report to the strata. Mm. And then we go inside the building, and we'll inspect the unit, kind of like any other house inspection. But included in that, too, if we can get access to the roof, the boiler room. Mm-hmm. I like to have a look in the parkade. I like to be curious and poke around. And I've had a couple cases where I just did one a little while ago where we went into the building. It showed really well. The unit was great. It was right. One of those. It was actually a fix and flip, but it was a good fix and flip. They'd actually done a pretty decent job.
Yeah.
And so we're going through and looking at it, and the roof looked good and everything. And then we go down to the parkade, and there's about a foot of water in the parkade.
Wow.
And then one of the neighbors walks by and he goes, "Oh yeah, it does this every time it rains." And it's been doing this for years. And, the client went, wow, there's nothing about it in the minutes. There's nothing about it in the engineering reports, depreciation report. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those things that you have to sort of see in person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you really have to just be curious and poke around.
Mm-hmm.
I would compare it to, buying a car.
Yeah.
Open up the glove box and open the engine and take a look around. And you can never go wrong by being curious and looking a little bit further,
because
sometimes you can dodge a big problem by just finding it early, and they were really glad because they would have, they actually decided not to purchase the property just based on the parkade issues.
Oh yeah.
But
can be very costly for
a
flat owner. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if you get a special levy right after you move in, it kind of takes the excitement out of it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a condo inspection.
Yeah.
And, with a small house, it's going to be the same thing, same concepts. We're looking out for issues that are significant. So, I think especially if you watch a lot of TV shows that have inspectors, we may, on TV, of course, they'll poke around and they'll nitpick some of the workmanship issues and cosmetic details. We aren't really looking for the cosmetic as much.
Okay.
We're looking for more of the fundamental function of the building. So if you have terrible drywall, the drywall doesn't look very good, but you can always patch and paint it later.
Sure.
But if you have an issue with maybe you've got a recalled type of plumbing, that's actually a functional issue because you could get a leak and that could cause water damage. So that's something that we're more focusing in on the functional aspect of it. And typically, a condo inspection would take about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Give or take. And for a house inspection for a small house is usually about 2.5 to 3 hours.
Right.
And I think you'll find that that's pretty common sort of across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my longest inspection I've ever done was about 5.5, almost 6 hours, but that was a 12,000 square foot house.
It's a huge mansion.
Yeah. So, in that case, you're going through one of the 10 bathrooms, and then you go inspect the tennis court. So,
yeah.
But a typical small house would be about that.
That's great.
Yeah.
So speaking of some of those common deficiencies like plumbing materials and things like that, what are some of the things in Vancouver real estate that you see as a common trend where it could be like a warning sign for a potential buyer? So if they have this type of plumbing or this type of roofing material or siding or something like that, or is there some things that you're just like, whoa, we should try to tend to stay away from, or kind of red flags for you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Vancouver has a pretty unique set of issues. We are a rainforest, and I think we tend to forget that, when we see it as a city. But you have to remember that, with the relatively cool temperatures we have here, high amount of rainfall, that we're really susceptible to mold and water damage, way more than any other city in Canada. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of unique issues locally, we'd be looking at probably mold and water damage would be my top one.
Mm-hmm.
Every inspection, if I'll say something like, okay, you have a roof leak and there's some mold, that always becomes the number one issue for the buyer.
Right.
And not only because it's you don't want to have roof leakage because it can cause further building damage, but mold is also a big issue and it
health
can cause health issues.
Yeah.
And I would say I get about one to two calls a week just from people wondering if they have mold in their house. They don't even, they already live in the house. They bought it years ago, but they just want to see if they have mold. So that would be my number one thing is mold. And it doesn't seem to have any, always this type of property has mold. It's never that. I went and did a 3-year-old condo a little while ago, and there was mm-hmm. mold everywhere. And what had happened was it was a family that was living there, and they never ran the fans. Mm-hmm. And they had all the windows closed all year round, mm-hmm. and they would just cook, and there was this pot of steaming water that was just constantly cooking all day yeah. long. And what they did is they basically added so much moisture to the unit that all the mold collected around the outside of the walls by right. the windows. So, it's not one type of property in that case. It's just mm-hmm. basically the conditions, the interior yeah. conditions. So that would be my top issue is mold, yeah. Hands down. There's also some unique issues, like if you go over to between, I think it's Main and Fraser and north of 16th.
Oh, yeah.
You've got your tea swamp.
Yeah, the bog.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of people haven't heard of it. They go mm-hmm. down there and they're, the road's, it seems like the road is sinking. why is that going right. on? It's because it used to be a swamp, right? And
right.
then it was backfilled, and it's just marshy soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, so that's like a really specific issue. So if somebody mm-hmm. actually calls, I'll look up the address and say, just so you know, you're probably going to have a structural problem here.
Right.
And then... condos, we had our leaky condo crisis mm-hmm. That went from about 1983 to about 1998, and they were very expensive issues where the outside of the building envelope would actually leak,
mm-hmm.
And it would leak and it would rot the building and cause pretty significant structural damage. So that's a big one with condos is to look out for, but basically anything to do with water.
Yeah.
And then you've got some unique items like you've got some electrical issues that are you'll see in other cities as well. Aluminum wiring, that's mm-hmm. a big one. If you have aluminum wiring, it could overheat and cause insurance issues. And then you've got if it's a really old house, I think the term is character home.
Yeah, like knob and tube or something.
Knob and
yeah.
tube wiring, yeah. exactly. So in that case, you're 90% of the time you're going to have to rewire the house if mm-hmm. you have that, and then that can be really expensive as well.
Yeah.
So, I it's just a never-ending list, and it's one of those things where I'll learn everything about, I'll learn everything up to today,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden tomorrow they'll announce, okay, by the way, this smoke detector, all these got recalled,
mm-hmm.
or all these washing machines start exploding, and,
right.
They got recalled as well. So there's always something new popping up that mm-hmm. we have to stay on top of. So, when you're picking a home inspector, make sure that they are constantly educating themselves. Yeah, because it never stops, and I'll think I know everything, and I'll walk into mm-hmm. a house and go, what the heck is this? I've never yeah. seen this in 3,000 homes.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, then I bank it up in my brain for next time, and then next time I can protect the customer from that, so.
Yeah. So your process of home inspections is quite thorough. You use a lot of different tools and a lot of methodology. So there's a minimum standard. So can you share with us a little bit about the minimum standard and what your kind of like all the extra stuff that you do for your clients, the people you work for?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I decided early that I was going to go a little bit further than the minimum standards, and a lot of inspectors will do that, but I think within reason, it's a good idea to just really go in depth, even if you're going outside of if you ask your insurance company, okay, what should I inspect, they'll say, okay, just do a visual inspection of this, just open a representative number of windows, not every window, just a few windows in the house. But if I have the time to do a really thorough job, I'll go above and beyond that. So like I said, in terms of tools, thermal imaging, that was a big breakthrough for me.
Yeah, I've seen Dave use thermal imaging in some of our inspections that we've done with him, and it sheds a huge light on some things that we would not know that are in behind walls and things like that. So Dave, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, recently, yesterday, for example, there was a fairly large house, and with thermal imaging, I was able to pick out that the upstairs toilet was actually dripping into the ceiling of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stood there with your just staring at it, or you point a flashlight at it, there's no staining
right.
or anything. It just looks like a painted ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And the thermal imaging was able to pick out the water in the ceiling. So that is that was a huge breakthrough for me. And I ended up going out and getting this really expensive thermal camera, which my wife was sort of, okay, why are you buying a $5,000 camera? And I
right.
said, trust me. I said, this is going to set me apart from other guys. And the decision I had to make was, okay, am I going to charge more for the thermal imaging, or am I just going to do it with every inspection and just raise my prices slightly? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we ended up doing. Mm-hmm. So I raised my prices across the board and just said, okay, every time, because it's so good, I don't want to do an inspection without it. So that's a huge one. And mm-hmm. I've actually had people call and they're thinking about booking an inspection, and they'll actually say, you know, do you do thermal imaging during the inspection? And I'll mm-hmm. say, okay, yes. And I'll, okay, great, you're hired.
Yeah.
So it's that good. Very, very cool tool.
Yeah, I always found it odd because there was that period of time, and I'm sure Dave knew, when there was just a huge rush of people that wanted to buy houses and buy condos, and they would write offers without inspection clauses and never have an inspection done on a property that they were going to buy.
Yeah, 2016.
We always found it, I always found it bizarre and strange, because you're investing essentially your life savings and, you know, for all that knowledge you get from an expert like Dave, who has all this experience doing 3,000 home inspections and umpteenth hours of research. You get all that knowledge distilled into one document, and it'll cost you a few hundred dollars. Like that, to me, like, I was always mind boggled with like agents on our listings, like, not writing off, like, subject to inspections, or like inspection before they write an offer if they were going without conditions. What are your thoughts and feelings about that? Obviously,
that was a crazy time. I guess it started about late 2015 and then all the way through 2016 and most of 2017. But you know, it really cooled off at the end of early 2017. But I remember one time, you know, I didn't realize how bad it got, and then I showed up at this. I got a panic call from a potential buyer on a Saturday, and they said, mm-hmm. "Can you come out at Sunday at 1 o'clock?"
Right.
Said, okay, sure. It's unusual time, but sure, why not? And it was because it was an open house. Mm-hmm. So I show up at this property, and I start unloading my ladders and all sorts of things, and then I notice there's other trucks on the street, and they all have inspection logos on them, and I'm going, "Oh, okay." So they've actually got about 3 or 4 home inspectors in one house at the same time, and they were allowing the inspectors to go through for 2 hours only mm-hmm. and do an inspection. So I'm standing in the driveway, and the other inspector comes up, and he goes, "Okay, I'll make you a deal. You know, you put your ladder up, and I'll use your ladder because you got a better ladder than me, and I'll go open the electrical panel for you, and I'll leave it open so you don't have to start fiddling around with it."
Right.
So we actually tag teamed.
Oh, nice.
And the 3 or 4 of us are going through the house, and we're inspecting this house, and there's probably 20 other people in the house walking around.
Yeah.
And I realized that all the inspectors are all being watched by people that didn't hire them. So they're kind of looking at it, you know, and he would kind of watch
free info.
Free info, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that's when they were all standing in line and making multiple offers.
Yeah.
In that case, the 4 people that did their due diligence were smart to do that. Although it's not really an ideal situation mm-hmm. when you have to do it at 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But, I think I'm glad to see a little bit more normalcy return. Like, now I'm seeing, I'll go do a detached home, and then they'll possibly renegotiate mm-hmm. after the inspection based mm-hmm. on what I found.
Right.
And that's unheard of up until now. For the past 2 years, you would never hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to see that. But I'm still probably once every month or two, I'll get a call from somebody that bought back in 2016 that's still now having problems that they mm-hmm. didn't know about. And they're actually wanting to find out how bad it is.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Like, I had a young couple that bought a house in Surrey mm-hmm. during the big rush. And they were, I think they said they were up against about 6 or 7 other offers. And they bought this house in Surrey, and they moved in with their family, and they've got young kids. And they noticed kind of a strong odor in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the house, you know, when I went in there, I went through the house top to bottom for them. But they'd already purchased and everything. It was all finalized and paid for. And the house had been like a marijuana grow operation.
Oh.
So it was like an ex-drug house. Yeah. And they had, you know, like severe mold problems. And even if somebody had just gone up to the attic, they would have found that.
Mm-hmm.
But they... they didn't have time, or at least they were told they didn't have time, and they were rushed into buying. So they ended up spending an extra, you know, I think it was $50,000 or $100,000 in remediation to get the house back to a healthy state. So please, you know, if you can, if it's at all reasonable, try to do an inspection before you remove subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, you know, before you offer, that's fine, but don't purchase without an inspection, because you can really run into trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, a lot of us have watched like shows like Homes on Homes, a lot of inspection shows here. And, you know, obviously where they're talking about the craftsmanship of the developer or whatnot. In your process, is that realistic or is that just like dramatized?
Most of it's dramatized, yeah. Although, you know, I'll be honest with you, it's a real guilty pleasure of mine to watch those shows.
Yeah.
I absolutely love them. My favorite is the investment property.
Yeah.
What is it? Scott McGillivray, and he goes in and they transform this sort of, you know, really rundown house into this really profitable, nice house with a suite usually in the basement.
Yeah.
I love watching those shows. It's really interesting, but they are heavily dramatized.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I see that is not realistic is the amount of time it takes to actually do a renovation. Mm-hmm. You know, on the show, it takes about 30 minutes.
Right.
You know, and anybody who's ever done a renovation in Vancouver, by the time you get your permits, you select your contractor, you know, he runs into problems with one of his trades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can be months and months. So that's probably the big thing is the timeline. And then I saw this other show a little while ago. It's not Homes on Homes. It's called Homes Inspections.
Okay.
Where he it's just him doing the inspections.
Right.
And when he does it, he just tears the house apart.
Yeah.
But it's almost like nobody actually owns the house. You know, just vacant for him.
Right.
You know, in real life, we're actually in somebody's home.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you said, okay, you know, I got an offer on this house, there's probably somebody living there. They're not going to want me to go in there and spend a whole day there with, you know, 10 floodlights and start opening up the walls.
Right.
And start bringing in plumbers and electricians and things like that. So it's more of, it's probably a lot less invasive than they show on TV.
Right.
We always like to remind people it's a visual inspection. Mm-hmm. So we're there just visually looking around. I'm not going to, cut open a wall to check something. I'm not going to, help you move three couches out of the way to, you know, within reason I will. But, if there's a whole bunch of storage items, we don't, you know, help the customer move everything out of that area and check the room. So it's a little bit less invasive probably than they show on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when someone's looking for an inspector, like what should they be looking for? What like questions should they be asking, or what resources are out there for them to see kind of where all the inspectors are?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one nice thing about British Columbia is that all inspectors must be licensed and they must be insured. So that's actually a question I get a lot: is are you licensed and insured? And the answer is yes. You know, if your inspector is operating in BC legally anyways, they're going to be licensed. They're going to have actually a minimum amount of errors and emissions insurance, and they're going to have liability insurance and such. If they don't, you know, you should actually report them to the Consumer Protection BC because they're probably operating illegally. But, that's something that you'll find with every inspector that's at least, operating on a regular basis. What I would do is there's a couple ways you can find an inspector. You can look online, have a look at their website, and look at their history of their work. You know, what have they done before home inspecting? How long have they been inspecting for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a year? Is it 2 years? You know, they're probably a little bit newer. You know, if they were driving a truck before and now they're a home inspector and they've only been an inspector for a year, you know, probably not as much experience as a guy that's been doing it for, you know, a longer time.
Right.
For my business anyways, is online reviews.
Mm-hmm.
A very powerful tool and a very good way to find an inspector is to look at their online reviews. And don't just, you know, skim the number of stars. Actually read the reviews and say, okay, you know, is this person, what's their story? Okay,
right.
We hired David to come look at our house. He was thorough. He showed up on time. He spent 4 hours. He gave us a detailed report, and he caught this. Okay, that's a pretty good testimony. So you know, see what past clients have done, and then I would say ask your real estate professional as well. Mm-hmm. I think there's sort of this weird thing that I hear sometimes is that you should find your own inspector and not listen to your realtor in terms of who they recommend, and that's really 99% of the time. A real estate agent will recommend the best inspector that they know because they want the best for their client. And really, everybody I work with on a day-to-day basis is very, very focused on client satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
They want a great inspection for their client, and they want to avoid any issues in terms of, if this isn't the right house for them, if it has foundation problems, I'd rather they didn't buy it, and I'd rather they go to a different house.
Right.
I would say ask your real estate professional, and they will provide you with honest opinion. Okay, you know, this guy's very detailed. You should go with him. And sometimes you can ask your friends, but it depends on who's bought a house recently. I know, mm-hmm. Sometimes nobody really knows an inspector, but anybody in the industry, people talk and they'll know who's good and maybe who's a little less detailed, mm-hmm. and they'll be able to help you out. But I'd say online or ask your real estate professional.
Yeah, I think so. As a real estate professional, as a realtor, sometimes you get a little bit of a bad rap that we want to hire the
right.
most lenient.
Get the deal done
here, like the most lenient home inspector that we can, because we don't, we want to make sure it goes through. And we have consciences. We're human beings. We cannot, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night knowing that I sold someone a mold infested home. So
right.
So I think it really does boil down to that. In our business, in being a real estate professional, you have something called the Competition Act. What the Competition Act is that when you refer a trade, so when you refer a home inspector or a mortgage professional or any other professional that's outside of your scope of duties, notary public or lawyer, you have to recommend three choices. So that is using our code of ethics is how we're supposed to recommend any trade. So David, obviously with my team, is one of the three home inspectors that we, and that's kind of from the act, the Competition Act. So essentially he's one of the three. He might be at the top of our list. That's why he's here.
Yeah, my name's in bold on the list. Yeah.
Well, it has to, we want to make sure that it's a really great experience for our clients. And we want to know everything about the house, and we want all the tools and equipment. And I was so impressed with the thermal imaging, because David has done that with several of our clients, and it's always been so enlightening for them and a lot of peace of mind, because you can't see what's behind those walls. And being able to have some of that extra, and the inspector we used before Dave got into the business, I think we've been using Dave almost since he started, pretty close.
Yeah, actually, I think you were one of the few, the first real estate agents that I that regularly started calling.
Obviously some other buyers have their own inspectors that they trust, which is phenomenal. There's like a very well-known inspector in our industry that has like a anti-realtor.
Oh, I know that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, there's an anti-realtor who refuses to take realtor referrals. He's like, and he's well known, and actually I think he's a good inspector. I really like him, and I think he's really tough. And I really respect what he does, and it's a really interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, about that? Well, respect to him, but I don't know where this vilification of realtors comes from. And I wish that would. You hear about some shady practices in the industry.
Yeah.
And I wish that stigma wouldn't extend to like an entire industry. It's mm-hmm. so frustrating because. I'll be at a dinner party and I'll tell everybody, I'm a home inspector. I inspect properties and I work with realtors all day long, and I do at least. And immediately everybody has an opinion. Oh, those realtors out, for their commissions only, and they're just trying to get the deal done. And that may be the case with one or two, but I have to say, I everybody I work with on a day to day basis, that is referring me or that I meet. Most of them really genuinely care about their client, and that's where it comes from, is that you want, like you said, the best experience for your client. If you do that and you have a great, and the client has a great experience, and you recommend really professional, like a home inspector or a notary or a mortgage broker, and they have a great experience, they might not be the fastest, they might not be the ones who are most lenient, but they're going to get the job done properly, and that mm-hmm. customer is going to come back to you in the future because they had a great experience, and it's all about building that relationship, is looking out for their interests instead of yours.
Right.
And I have to say that most people I deal with are really genuinely focused on the client, and I really wish to sort of get that out there, that if you have a real estate professional and you feel that they're looking out for you, is to trust them, because they, most of the time they're not in it to make a quick buck. They'll want to build a relationship with you because they want that word of mouth referral later.
Yeah. And that's just that is very true. So looking at it from the long term, if you have a happy client, it's a relationship. We have had people that have worked with us for 12 or 13 years, moving through several phases of their life, and that's really what Yeah, it is a rewarding part of our job to see people grow and evolve and change, you know, in a lot of ways. And I've actually seen David evolve quite a bit from when he first started as a home inspector. I think he was very, very thorough, which I always look out for. I think he was doing an inspection for one of we were the listing agent.
It was your listing, wasn't it? Yeah, it was
our listing.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
It was a new property, so you know you'd think that. They wouldn't be so thorough, like looking into the parkade, like looking through every nook and cranny of the home. It was an empty home. And I just thought he did a fantastic job explaining some of the nuances of the home. And he was really instructive on how to use a lot of the systems in the property, because it had a very interesting heating and cooling system. And so, so David was very, very knowledgeable. And I was like, hey, we're going to start using Dave. And our clients loved him and how thorough he was with their home inspections. So it's a really great he does a really fantastic job, and we love being able to work with him.
It's a great relationship. So, yeah. And I appreciate all the referrals. And yeah, it's funny, you know, when I met you, I meet people sometimes and I don't realize that all of a sudden my phone just starts ringing and oh, okay, yeah, you know, I'd like you to help out my next client.
Yeah.
And, obviously you guys have grown huge and your team and everything in the past couple of years too. So mm-hmm. It's actually really interesting to work with the same people on a day-to-day basis and sort of see how we're all sort of growing. So it's really quite cool. And I've done a few now where the customer has, they bought a condo and then they had then they bought a townhouse because they had a kid, and then they, bought a house. So I've actually done a couple where I've actually done three inspections for the same family. And I just love that. It just it just makes everything so worthwhile.
Yeah, right? You see them fast forward 2 years, there's like a little baby, and then fast forward 2 years, there's like a 5-year-old that's going to kindergarten.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you just kinda see them at these phases of their life, and it's really cool, to see those things. And that's for me the most rewarding part, is to be a part of those like critical and key moments in someone's life and to just help to, guide them through as smoothly and strategically as we can. I think it's very, very rewarding. So, in speaking of inspections, now there's how many inspectors are there in BC?
I should have done my homework on how many there are. I think there's a few hundred, but I'm not 100% on the latest number, because it seems to.
It fluctuates, of course.
Yeah, and I think after the 2016, 2017 sort of, those were scarce times for inspectors. Mm-hmm. So I think a couple of them hung up their hat and said, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. Mm. So I'm not sure where the number's at right now, but it's only a handful. There's actually very few compared with, real estate agents, where there's thousands and thousands. Mm-hmm. But home inspectors were, there's really not that many in BC. And I think that's, the new requirements. It's quite stringent on what you have to do in terms of education. And getting your actual license is actually quite a process. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be that the barrier to entry is actually quite high, which is actually good for us. So
yeah, there's a lot of education that you need to take to be a home inspector and to do a thorough and competent job. Now let me ask you a challenging question.
Okay, I'm ready.
So there are hundreds of home inspectors in BC. For yourself, so David is buying a home for himself and he was not an inspector. What percentage of home inspectors would you actually hire?
Oh, boy. Oh, I would say about 10%.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the industry, so I'm probably going to be really picky.
Yeah, for sure.
But, if I'm really, this is my dream house and nothing can go wrong with it, I'd probably narrow it down to about 1 in 10. Mm-hmm. But I think, if I had a friend that was just buying an investment property, it'd probably be a lot higher.
Yeah,
for sure. So.
But if it's a crown jewel in your portfolio.
Right, yeah, I saved up my whole life, finally it's time to buy. Yeah. And I'd probably say, very, very few. But, I don't think any inspector is, I don't think any of them think they're doing a bad, nobody thinks they're doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. And I think that at the end of the day, everybody thinks that they are doing their best. Mm-hmm. And you have to keep that in mind, even with other trades too, plumbers, electricians, whatever. Nobody says, how was your day, honey? Oh, I did a bad job today. Mm-hmm. Nobody says that. I think it's more that the drive is sometimes not there, and they just want to get it done.
Right.
Some days, and some days I'll show up and I'm okay, I'm a little tired today, or I've been going strong all week. I've already done 10 inspections and I got another one. But I have to remember that every time, and I have to reset myself before every inspection. This is somebody's dream home.
Right.
And it's so hard to remember that sometimes, but you have to reframe it every time I pull up in my truck outside a house and I've got that customer standing in the driveway looking at me, and this is a very important time of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go, okay, you know what? Regardless of what I may be going through or how I feel or how much coffee I've had, you know, maybe one of the batteries in my tools is dead, I have to focus on this is their dream home.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the probably the most expensive thing you'll ever buy. And so I have to just go, okay, let's do the best I possibly can. And I'll just empty myself. Okay, you know, this is everything I know. Let me take lots of time and do this. And I'll go home and I'll just collapse, you know, after a long day. But at least then I know that I did my best. And that's what really I think most guys are out trying to do.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
for sure. So it must be challenging. And speaking of that, because Dave, I hope you don't mind me sharing. We can edit it out if you want.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll just be we're going to cut to a commercial break, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. David just became a father. Congratulations.
Yeah. Actually, a father several
Several times. How many?
We're at three now.
Oh, yeah, three. Yeah. Jeez, okay. He was just talking about his... Wow, fantastic. So how old are your kids?
I've got a six-year-old girl, a four-year-old boy, and an 11-week-old baby.
Yeah, so he was just talking about his 11-week-old baby before he came. So congratulations on the massive family.
Yeah.
In today's standards, that's huge.
Yeah, by today's standards in Vancouver, that's like a small farm worth
that's
of kids.
That's right, you're like Amish now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm just joking.
come clan, let's go over here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So so how do you balance that? You know, you got fatherhood, you got entrepreneurship, you have doing a great job for your clients, and you have being a husband or a friend and all those things. Like, what's your, like, how do you balance all those
It's hard, you know, and I would I'd say, you know, the big thing is basically my hierarchy is God, family, and then you know, work, and then everything else below that. So if you keep that hierarchy, that's going to help you frame every day. You know, the big thing is not to burn out. Don't try to overextend yourself, especially if you're a small business person. I see a lot of small business people, when they're first starting, there's that whole, hey, hustle,
right.
You know, network. And it's good at the very start to build your relationships. But after that, it's mostly that you want to, if you take care of yourself, then you can take care of other people.
Right.
So if you go and burn yourself out and you're doing 16-hour days every day, there's probably a way to do that smarter rather than harder. And that's something that we had to work on the last couple years. My wife is also a small business owner. And we had to work on, okay, where's our time being spent? You know, how many hours did you work today? Okay, well, I worked 10 hours today. Could you have worked 7 and gotten 80% of the work done? Okay, well, you should probably just work 7, and then we can take care of our family, we can spend more time with the kids.
Right.
So it's more about just efficiency would probably be, you know, efficiency is everything. If you can find a better way to do it. I just switched over my software for my inspection writing. And now it's in the cloud. And what I used to do is I would take all my photos and I would go home at the end of the day and I would sit at my laptop and I would type up the report.
Right.
And I would slot all the photos into the right section. And then I would save it as a PDF, upload it to email, and then mail it off to all the... And that was like every evening I would be sitting there typing and my little boy would come over and go, Daddy, you know, let's play.
Yeah.
So now it's, we're in the cloud. I do it on my tablet and I'm actually hitting send on the report within about 15 minutes after the inspection.
Oh, wow.
Which is just, I couldn't believe it. The first time I did it, I was like, wow, what do I do with all this time? So it's all about finding more efficient ways of doing it. And just not, don't burn yourself out. You know, I always, you know, if I'm really, you know, busy with the kids, And somebody calls for an inspection the same day, I'll say, okay, you know what, I would love to, but, you know, I can't do a great job for you today because I'm, you know, just, you know, today's our family day or whatever it is. Yeah, I'd say that's a big thing is just don't burn yourself out as a small business owner because it is very tempting.
Yeah. So do you commit a family day per week or is it?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Sundays are usually our family day. If it's an emergency or if it's 2016, know, I'll go and do an inspection on a Sunday, no problem. And I like to be flexible. Sometimes somebody will call me for, you know, I got called for an inspection. It's 7:30 p.m. the other day. You know, no problem. And you know, always try to work with everybody. But but yeah, you have to take time off for the family, and you have to think about your why. Like why are you working?
Right.
Know? you know, I can get all the money in the world, and then I come home to, you know, I don't have, maybe my, you know, my kids are doing something else, and they're, you know, I didn't spend any time with them, right? Yeah. So I'd rather have, you know, the reason I'm going out and inspecting every day and working hard is so that I can, you know, provide for my kids and build mm-hmm. a good life for them and spend time with them, right? Yeah. So, and that was one of the things about getting into small business was that it's flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great, you know, I want to go to the, you know, we'll take the kids to Playland. Okay, yeah. Let's, I'm not going to take a booking on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, make it a call for it, but, you know, let's just do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the big benefits of being self-employed. So you work harder, but mm-hmm. you get a little more flexibility.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. You probably notice that too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm pretty disciplined with trying to take time off when I can. I used to, when I first got started, I was like a work machine demon. I would like basically 6 a.m. to like 11 p.m. every single night. And then, you know, speaking of some of those efficiencies, trying to understand, you know, what was, you know, profitable in the business and what was worthwhile, and trying to outsource or find technology or find other ways for better time management. And, you know, it's an ever evolving process, of course, but, yeah, making sure like I take one day off a week, which, you know, which was unheard of, you know,
oh, yeah.
like 12 years ago for me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, I take one day off a week and, you know, I try to have regular hours instead of like, you know, I was working last night till midnight, of course, but,
but yeah, I was about to say, you know, you worked until late last night. Yeah,
I was working until midnight yesterday, but you know, I think that's more of an exception now when it used to be like every night. So, so that's helped a lot for me and my balance of things. But, Dave, obviously having the, you know, the balance of work and life and starting this business. So where do you see the future for your business and for yourself and for maybe the future of your industry of home inspection?
Yeah, you know, I really think it's got a bright future. I think it's a great it's something that is so necessary, and it becomes more necessary just as values go up, as the industry mutates and modifies, you know, because there's always evolution in the real estate industry. And I just see more and more demand for it as time goes on. I think right now what was it now? I know it went really low in, you know, a couple of years ago in terms of the percent of properties actually being inspected.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually quite a bit higher right now. And yeah. I can see it going up
mm-hmm.
because I think the knowledge is there that, you know, you can't just watch a YouTube video and then go do your own home inspection.
Right.
So I think that the customer is aware of that, and they should just hire a professional to do it. So I'd like to see the percent of properties being inspected go up, and I would like to see probably a better understanding in the future of what it is we actually do. And how a real home inspection works. And I think the internet's helping out a lot. You know,
right.
I see the YouTube videos of somebody, you follow them along in an inspection. I've actually posted a couple where I've mm-hmm. actually been like, okay, let me show you what actually
yeah.
happens. You know, I'm here in Coquitlam, and this is, we're looking at the roof, and this is how we do it. I think what I would like to do is just continue on. You know, I toyed with the idea of growing a team, but I really enjoy the one-on-one and just being able to walk in with my, you know, last name right. embroidered on my shirt, and everyone knows who's coming, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I starting to train my son. He did a drywall patch the other day
that
was
nice.
Just really, you know, for a 4-year-old boy, yeah. is pretty good.
That's excellent.
So, you know, at some point you'll probably see Fairbairn and Sons
yeah.
Home inspections.
Nice.
That's my sort
yeah,
of ultimate
a dream.
Goal. Yeah. And yeah. My little girl's actually very intuitive. She caught a we had a roof leak at our church the other day.
Right.
She said, "Dad, you know, the roof is leaking right here." I said, "This, you know, I almost cried. You know, I'm so proud of her."
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, I'd like to see, you know, the kids get into it. But, yeah, you know, once in a while I'll get called from somebody and they're interested in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to sit down with them and say, look, you know, this is what's good about it. This
yeah.
is what's hard about it. I love it. I mean, I'll keep doing it as long as I can, you know, and, the nice thing about it is it's not particularly labor intensive. So mm-hmm. it's not like being a, you know, a commercial, you know, rebar guy, you know, where it's like you can only do it until about the age of 45, and and that's pretty much it. And that's how our industry started, was retired contractors.
Yeah.
You know, they were retired home builders or contractors, and they were looking for, you know, side work that wasn't too strenuous, and they would pick up a flashlight and they would go and inspect some properties. You know, the nice thing is you can do it for a lifetime. And I have a feeling that if you brought me back onto the show 30 years from now, I'd probably say, you know what, I learned something new the other day because this changed, right?
So
that's the nice thing, is it's probably never going to end.
I think that 100% of all properties should be inspected, even the brand new ones. I've seen... I've seen so many brand new properties that have had deficiencies that have been uncovered through an inspection, and even though it's under warranty for 5-10 years, I think it is an absolute necessity for the most part to get home inspection conducted, and I think it's worth every penny to do that. So obviously I want to thank Dave. Dave, do you want to say anything to our like maddening crowd of listeners?
Maddening crowd, yeah. The tens and tens.
Yeah, yeah. The dozen, my mom included.
Yeah, yeah. To Michael's mom, you know, I really want to, get a home inspector. No. Well, I know which realtor she'll use. Right?
Maybe, I don't know. My sister's pretty good too.
Oh, that's right, yeah. She's your, you turned her into a competitor, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, you know, thanks for having me on. You know, really impressed with, Oakwin and where you're taking it. And I, you know, encourage anybody to call in with any real estate questions and talk to you. And you're a really good wealth of knowledge. If anybody has any questions about home inspections, go to VancouverInspections.com, and I'll do my best to help you out.
Perfect. Well, David Fairbairn, thank you so much for being part of the podcast. As a closing note, if you don't mind rating, subscribing, and maybe writing a little brief review of what you thought of this podcast, and please visit David at his website, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.